Well, this is Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 71. Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 71.
Front of the fire.
And maybe we'd have one of these here old-fashioned foot tubs, aluminum, you know, foot tubs. Maybe run up on a little foot tub, you know, cut out of a keg or something.
Sure.
Long way and six steps. We had plenty of ways of getting out of a bath if we wanted them.
Now, let me tell you, I didn't know about a syrup keg. How big are they? 50 gallons?
Yes, anywhere from 35 to 50 gallons.
And
mostly 35 gallons, but this just happened to be a big old, well, molasses barrel, you know. Papa got it from somebody. We had two of them. And then we had these other smaller tubs, wash tubs. When we want to take a bath, we take them old big molasses tubs down. There's one that had to tote it. You just take and turn, just keep it rolling on the closed thing, you know. Get to where you want to take your bath at. And one place we didn't have no smokehouse. And I'd take Mama's quilt and find and stick them up in the logs. We lived in a log house. Stick them up in the logs. Have another one out here where I could.
Oh, yeah.
Post or something. Maybe a clothesline post would be pretty close. Take it and go across that way. It had the whole wall of the house. I'd take some of Mama's sheets and blankets and hang up the bath back there.
Yeah.
And it's in the corner. Just get around for it. Window. Wooden window. With shutters, you know. Push them to enough to give you a space. Well, a crack about like that. To stick the quilting frame in, and then out in, and bring it, and kind of keep it up like a teepee, like an Indian's teepees, you know. Be so big and heavy, we couldn't carry them in the house. Oh, me and my cousins, we used to have a time.
That would make a good one, it looks to me like, one of them syrup barrels.
And then they made good wash tubs, too.
Good wash tubs, too. They had those bands around them, the hooks, you know, that held them good, didn't they?
Yes. And Papa take and re-tack them, you know, keep them from slipping off.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Now, he'd cut them right through the middle. He'd make two of them,
Make two out of one.
And then he'd leave one of the staves a little longer than the others.
I can show you. See anything in here?
Uh-huh.
See, now this is the barrel. He'd mark all around with measure from end to end. Then he'd come here and he'd mark to here. And then he'd come over, roll the barrel on over, come on in, cut that, come on around, maybe then over here, he'd leave another one unmarked. Well, he'd start his sawing back here. He'd come to that one. Then he turned around, go back on the other side, saw that. But in the ways he cut them out in there somehow, he always left a stave on each side of the barrel to make a handle.
Yeah.
And he'd work them staves where he'd make it the width of the handle, say like my finger here,
yeah,
down, You get that, so that one off that. Well, that left that barrel with, and that.
Flash
code. There's a hole around the side. And he turned around and he cut the other one.
Uh-huh.
Well, it'd be, but how he done it, I don't know. It'd always be handles to them tubs.
Yeah.
But I know I've had holes of them enough, and then after you get them. But there, so it had him too. There's two tubs. He'd take his saw, not his saw, but his,
clean.
Drawing knife.
Drawing knife, yes.
And he'd smoothen that up just as slick as glass.
Yeah. It was good wood, you see.
And some of them wouldn't have, maybe wouldn't have, sometimes you'd have to leave it. Where there'd be a hole in the side of one for him. He put it out somehow. You never got no sticks in your hand, splinters in.
Yeah.
And Papa, one time, there before he went to farm, and he worked sawmill work, worked turpentine work, and I don't know what all kinds of jobs. Carpenter. He's even made barrels. He'd be at the cooper shop, they called it, you know, where they made the barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Put them staves up in there and get the head in.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in there and put them staves in, put them bands around it, and that's John it should go.
Yeah.
He made a barrel.
That's your daddy.
That's my father. He was a. Old saying is, he is a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
He can do everything.
Oh, that's nice.
He
yeah.
Raised and brought up on a farm. Run around, as he used to say, run around his shirt tails, you know, long shirts when they didn't know what pants were.
He didn't know what pants were. Just wearing a shirt tail.
He said him and the little niggas getting fights. Of course they had their underwear, you know. But it was homemade. Everything was homemade. That time when he was growing up, his garments was all spun on the
wheel.
Homemade. And he said he remembered the first suit. Made for him, he didn't want to wear it. He wanted his shirt. And he went to any of his aunts, and something went wrong, and she was going to get on to him about what they were doing. And she could try that. He sprayed marbles on his shirt tail. See, his mother died when he was real small, and his grandmother's and his aunt. Had hip raised children for grandpa was in war. He was a soldier. Did he remember when grandpa'd come home one time on furlough? Said yes. He says, "Is it really you, Pa?" He says, "Yes, Eddie, it's really me." He says, "Well, you don't look right with them they and that kind of clothes on." He says, "Well, they ain't give you no shirt and pants and coat yet. All these years I've been gone, they ain't put you in pants and regular little shirt and pants and coat. No, Papa, ain't. And I want my shirt. And some ain't beady, ain't so wrong with that." I says, "Well, Goodman says they ain't no use to talk to him about wearing a coat, a real shirt and pants." Says, "You bore his eyes out." Says, "He wants his shirt. All of them, him, all the little niggers and everything on the plantation, you know. All of them wore the shirts. They had, and to think, grandma and all of them had to weave the cloth and thread into cloth. cut them out of shirts and make them, and I don't know how many slaves Grandpa had when he went to war. And I don't know how many he had when he come back. He's taken me up on his knees many a time and told me the story of what he had to go through. How they'd go in green corn patches, you know, and get the roasting eggs, get this big arm full of them, and get off somewheres and get down and roast them. Eat roasting eggs roasted that way. He says, I can tell you it wasn't much eating. He says, but he sure gave us strength to keep going. He says, now I've got down and many a time wanted water. They'd come around and be puddles in the road. I got down and I drink water out of the hog puddle. We've run the hog side of it and drink the water, he said. And I thought about the men. How in the world did they manage to pull through without dying with some disease? God didn't want them to. He wanted them to keep on with what they were doing.
Them shirts, did you ever see them?
No, sir, I didn't see them.
That was way before your time.
Oh, my papa wasn't big enough to be a papa then.
Just a little boy.
He just growing up.
Yes. You see, that was the Confederate between the North and the South.
And he wore his shirts when he was little.
Oh, little niggas, yeah. No. All the slaves, all of them. All the, the nigger men, they had their shirts and pants. But there's where the work come in, too. The white women had to weave, spin, and weave the cloth, and cut them out, and make them with the fingers.
With the fingers.
Yeah. But in your time, there wasn't any of that anymore.
No, so they had on their suits.
Everything was bought in the store.
What wasn't made at home? Mama's made Papa's pants.
Oh, out of the material.
Yes, out of the material.
Yeah.
These are jeans, made out of gray jeans, blue cloth, you know.
She's made that?
She bought the cloth and make the pants. She always kept her a pattern in pretty good shape, so. When she needed to make new pants, she'd have them.
Yeah.
And she's made these shirts. I reckon up until we come to Florida in 1910, I guess she'd made his work shirts, make Eddie's clothes. Didn't have to buy no store-bought clothes for him unless she wanted to buy him a little dress suit or something like that. And Papa said he was like he was. He didn't like to wear it. Papa said he went to church many a time with his suit on when he was little.
Yeah.
And back in them days and times, they would have camp meetings. And they'd take little Nicky Youngins and put them all over on one side of the tent over there. And the white ones all over on the other side. Lots of times, though, there'd be so many that you'd have to mix them up. They paid no mind. They went there to hear the preacher.
Yeah.
And generally, always a hard share of preachers on the preacher. Father said they were having a big meeting. And back in them times, the women, they made the clothes. Their own clothes, their dresses, and it's all long trailed away behind them. And long then there were bushels. Had to build it up back here. Mm-hmm. Pop said he and another fellow, there were several of them sitting on the seat. And the girls,
your mama did that?
Yep. She wore bushels when she was growing up in long dresses.
Yeah.
Mama worked in a factory where they made clothes.
She did.
And Papa worked on the farm where they worked in the shirts. He always says, everybody eats him out there working in the hoeing and the shirt tails just a flopping. But of course, I always had on the underwear, you know. But it make him mad when I say, put on a pair of pants there. Put on your, pull your shirt off and put your pants on and your others. I don't want to wear them things. They're hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as I was going to tell you, these camp meetings, a lot of times the boys would be, some of them be so mischievous, you know. You know, they'd want them to have boards, you know, some black planks to sit on, long rows of them. Big old tents. And they'd be sitting there listening to the preacher, maybe. Some of them be singing. They would be singing. Come time to sing, they'd sing. And again, they'd be sitting there listening to the preacher, and these young girls, several of them sitting right in front of these, him and a lot of, he didn't do it, but he said he seen it done, said he's sitting here for you. And this girl's kind of a, well, her people were more wealthy than his people, a lot of the others, you know. I don't. Preacher was preaching away, and Art Wise says, let's pray. And this boy had a little short penknife. And her dress, the placket of her skirt back then, and her underskirt all open right up where you could see that buster, you know. And he taking his knife real careful, kept looking. And he taking his knife and cut that down there. About that big around in the back, because it come up and make a big hump on the hips. And he says, when the praying was over, she straightened up, and boy, the sawdust began to squirt.
Yeah.
All night. Then he said he got up, moved on the other side of the other one. Said she kind of felt. Mm-hmm. And look back behind her, there's sawdust out of the bus.
Well,
I said, he had to get out of dilation.
They had to do something. They were just sat as long as they could sit, hadn't they?
They'd stood as long as they could. These others were going, they didn't keep pushing that one. Kept pushing that one. Moving his feet, you know, right?
Yeah.
Thought it was nice. There, so.
Yeah.
They got him down that, and some of them began to fall off. Push them, and some little nigger boys on. Ha! Made them fall off. And,
scoot them off.
Then he moved a little further down. The rest of them, the nigger boys over on the other side. Didn't get up. Pick up the little old caps I had, a hat for, and walked out. Then when he got to the door, said he just got outside, and he rolled.
Yeah.
He rolled.
Yeah.
He said, some of them said, well, Eddie says, there ain't no, says, this ain't a wholeness. You don't have to get out here to roll. Just but if you seen what I seen back there, you'd have to roll. Because I know I ain't got the Holy Ghost to roll on here, but I got the devil spirit.
And your daddy would tell this.
He'd tell it on the others. He didn't do it, but this other boy, the other boy was mischievous.
Yeah.
He's all time doing something.
Yeah.
Papa said he got the way, I just try my best not to get on the bench with him. Because he'd make my life out if I didn't get up and move.
Yes.
He said, I come out, didn't that girl come out of the bar? Was quarreling like somebody had need her. And they won't know what the matter. She said, you seen that child where all of a sudden somebody ripped my muscle and all the dust was rolling. And they'd go for several days and nights, you know. They'd even sleep at the camp. They'd tear food out and cook it out.
Sleep at the camp.
And, oh, he said he had a had a good time, but said, I know if Grandpa on either side had seen me anywhere close around with it, I imagine my long shirt wouldn't have been much good if I had it on. And some boy ripped, I think Papa said, ripped the seam in his pants back there one time. And so he told Grandma, he says, Grandma, he says, no, it's Aunt Dee Dee. He says, Aunt Dee Dee, he says, I am not going to church, going to tent meeting, a church meeting, or any other meeting anymore. Why? Well, if you look at my back back here, you'll wonder why. Why, Eddie, what happened? Says, that boy ripped so-and-so's bustle open, ripped my pants open. Says, I know he done it. Just because you're sitting there right behind me. Said, well, I wish you'd quit getting around where that boy is. Said, I'm going to tell so-and-so about that boy. She said, you can do no good. He's all the time doing something.
You
Papa
know.
Said he got to where he'd get up closer to the front where the older folks were.
You know,
he wouldn't be brain frozen.
See, a knife then, you see, had some metal in it.
Yeah.
And they could put an edge on that knife.
It was one of these little pin knives, sharp
pointed.
Yeah.
It would just go right through that stuff and you wouldn't feel it.
Well, you see, the seam was in. Oh, yeah, it was just ripped them just a few stitches and nose grooves. Papa said he told Grandpa. Says, Pa, he says, you know, says, we had some good camp meetings, says, and we had some dirty boys that went there every day and every night.
Yeah.
Says, we go there to pray for peace and have people to come home. He says, everything we had done been done away with most. Northern Yankees is all. You call them bluebellies. Papa says, Pa, say, you know there's a bunch of bluebellies coming here. Says, Neville, call Papa's name. Says, if he hadn't dug a big hole and taken cotton bagging and put down in there and throwed all of our meat down in there and covered it back over, and cloud left places know to where we know where that hole was where we could get out of me. Says, and back down the other field. Says he rolled several barrels of syrup down there, hid them in the bushes. He says, they come here and they just done away with almost all the corn and everything they could get hold of in the way of eat.
Yeah.
Just scattered it out, the corn and wheat rinds. See, they raise their own flour too, wheat. And they raise rye for the stock. And they raise rice, you know.
Well, that's just, right. They use rice then.
Yes, they had plenty to eat on the farm, but the northern soldiers just come in and butcher it. And the niggas all run and hide, you know, and keep from being killed. And they drag a lot of the widow women out and beat them. Papa says, I tell you, Aunt Dee Dee stood her ground, nurse, and she had that old musket. Says, and she knows how to work it, too. And boy, she had a gun, bum, 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 all around. Said, they wouldn't come in the house where she was at.
Oh.
And another aunt, they were all, let me see, it was three. Well, there's two of them, was old maids. The rest of the girls had married, you know. I think this was one of the single ones. And Papa says, she wasn't scared of them. says them old musketry had that. There's a she'd empty one and holler for another one. Yeah, that little old nigger said that. Packing them things with shot, powder, wadding, and all right. Miss Andre, I have one. Can you shoot it? No, ma'am, I'm scared of them. I said, I'll fix it, but I'm scared of them. And a lot of them would run and get under the beds and under the barns. And so there's a lot of people burnt out. They just burnt out a lot of people. Didn't burn out and destroy any of Grandpa's, neither one of Papa's grandfather's farms, but drove off a lot of hogs and cows and was going to take the mules, but they stood the ground, fought them off with the mules and the horses.
Now, that was your daddy telling you that? Now, he didn't come down here with you.
Mm-hmm. My father died in 28.
He brought you down here.
Oh, I thought that was Frank's father. That was your father.
Frank's father was they come from Carolina.
Yeah.
All of his folks. And all of mine come from Georgia.
But they didn't, his folks didn't get here, up here.
Well, you see, the war was all over the world at that time.
Yeah.
But Uncle Martin, his folks was all in Carolina when that was going on.
Yeah. Uncle Martin is the one that had the long whiskers.
Mm. He's the one that had the long whiskers. Uh-huh.
Now, did he live longer than your father?
Mm-mm. He died in 22.
And he was the one in the big house.
In the big 8-room house that burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my father died in 28. He was way up in his... way up in his 70s, I don't know, just...
Oh, I see.
See, he was a baby boy of Grandpa's children, four boys.
Yeah.
And they were scattered out around here and there. And another time, Papa said, they had a reunion. This was after the war. They went to Grandma Brumble's, or Grandma Dixon's. That's my great. That would be Papa's grandmother. Yeah, Papa's grandmother. Grandma Brumbles was Papa's mother's mother. And Grandma Dixon was his mother on his father's side. But anyway, they had this dinner. They had a big old log kitchen. They had a big old long table in there. Benches on the side, benches at the end for them to sit on them. And said they had done fed the older folks. Done got the fed. Anyway, it come that time to go to the table. Said he have to get on one of the benches at the end of the table right at the door.
Now, there's your daddy.
Have my daddy. Said they were, well, they were almost grown then, you see. They had them all around the table, all around. And one of the aunts, I don't know, she's Aunt Biddy. Aunt Nancy. Oh, wait, anyway, it was one of his aunts. She was going around. Serving one, well, there were several going around serving, dishing out the food, you know, ask them what they wanted. They come to rice, sitting there, going on around, putting gravy on the rice. Said, Aunt Biddy, I believe it's Aunt Biddy, come, got just about back around where he was, and one of his cousins, well, his sister, sisters and sisters. And her and her brother were sitting there close together. Father said, you got things. She says, Simon says, you won't have a great. They'd been used to saying sop. This new word gravy had come out. And Silas hadn't found it, you know, hadn't noticed it being a new word. So Silas, you have gravy on your rice? But he kept sitting there. Kind of bumped him on his shoulder. Silas, you have gravy on your rice? Sister Hall, you want sop on your rice, Silas? And Paul said, all you had to do was just have some sitting out the door. So you'd sit there and look at Silas, wondering what he was going to say, you know. You have gravy, Silas? Silas didn't be on mine. Silas, you have gravy? And this boy's her name, Becky, I believe. You know, he said, Becky, hold up, hit him over there. You won't stop, Silas? I said, he was already tickled, you know. Because it was a new word to him, but he knew that it had to be gravy or something like that. Had to be sop or something like that. But since I was there, wouldn't say you wanted any gravy. So Becky hit him over the head, so you want sop, sop? Yeah! And when he hollered out, yeah, that he just hooped. That he just rolled up in a knot and turned off that thing into a double somerset. Right out the back door he went, and he kept going until he got down to the spring. But he didn't stop. Then one of the cooks at the kitchen said, Eddie, where are you going, boy? Ain't you eating your dinner? So he told him, I can't eat nothing now. Got down then. Then find out why some of the boys come down and said, Eddie, you ain't going to let me eat you down. So he laughed and he cried. And he hurt so bad from crying and laughing. He said, I want y'all to leave me alone. I said, what's the matter? He says, I can't go back in there while Silas and Dick is in there. I said, says, ain't Biddy's wanting right. Nancy, which it was, won't know where you're at. Why, you wasn't there. Said there were three of them sitting on that wrong bench. Here in the middle, and you get.
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
I remember that. I remember you could laugh until your stomach hurt.
Yeah. How much you take of this?
Teaspoon?
Yes. And whenever she said, Aunt Biddy had her, Aunt Becky had to come down and get him, carry him back to the house to get his food. Uh-huh. And just a little bit of water, please, ma'am.
You want a
little
water? Oh, excuse me.
He said that one time he left the table, none of them made him go back. Because Aunt Biddy, Aunt Becky, Aunt Nancy, one went down. Says, Eddie, what's the matter, you ain't home? Johnny says, I said, I can't eat nothing now. Says, I was hungry, so I sat down there and said, and Becky went and hit Silas over the head. He went like, and she got to laughing. Said, well, come on, eat your dinner. I said, we want to get the table cleaned off now. And he went on back to the house. They all got to laughing at him about looking so raggedy after his life and run. Some of them said, I was just wondering why you had tumbled out of that why you tumbled out of that door like you did. And he told Grandpa about it and said Grandpa had a big drive over it. And some of them says, well, Jess, good, says, you know good and well, says, when Eddie gets tickled about anything, he's around the table, you always tell him to get up and get out. Says, and he sure had something to get tickled for today, the auntie. Says, Becky up and walk flowers over. And won't flop flower. Yeah. All of a sudden, sounds like and said, yeah, like it. He probably could have stayed there, but.
Now, he never lived that down, did he? Everybody who was there remembered that.
I reckon so. Everyone who was in that dining room that day, I imagine if they're living today, you mention Silas.
And they just have fun remembering.
Now, did Uncle Martin tell you things like that too?
No, sir. He told about having hard times getting anything to eat. Talking about drinking water out of hog wallers when he was down there.
Yeah.
Going in people's corn patches. Stealing corn.
But your daddy told
you. They'd always put up these camps. And my grandfather told me a whole lot about it. I sat on his lap a minute and I nodded and listened to him telling his war tales.
Oh, really?
He shot the big cannon. He always had to put the, there's a big shell. He was good at chunking things. But they always had him there to work that cannon gun too. Said one time they were waiting for a mail call, you know, and said a bunch of Yankees had got under a short leaf pine down in the valley and they were up on the edge of a mountain. You have to crawl over and see what was going over there down the valley, like, you know. And so they were all down there looking to see how many more was going to accumulate up there. And they looked and seen in the bunch the Yankees had captured one of their soldiers, an old Irishman. Papa said that this Irishman seen them up there, you know, and they'd made signs to him, to him, and they were, the Yankees were all gathered under the short leaf pine, and told him to go around behind them, a kind of a bin like in there, and said, and he told me, says, well, I just got to step around here. Then he darted around then, at that time, though, the captain of Grandpa's regiment come up. He says, Jay, good. Says, can you throw what do they call them, shells at this?
Cannonballs.
No, it wasn't cannonballs.
Grenades,
yeah. One of these hand grenades. I don't know. He says, I can throw it. Says, it may not kill none of them. He might scare the devil out of them. He says, I seen an Irishman down there going around the corner. Says, we want to save him. He says, all right. He says, if you think you can throw it, just throw it. And you throw it and went right down the top of that short leaf pine. And it was a small pine, you know. And it busted. Says, and boy, you never seen the like of bluebell as a scattering out around. Then that old Irishman says he just turned it on around. He's going around up before he could get up to where they were at. He says, that was a narrow escape, I tell you. Says, fading but Christ, I just knowed I was gone. Says, when I found out I wasn't close enough to be hit, says, I put on a little more speed. Got up there, he says, well, Goodman, he says, I didn't know you was in this regiment here. He says, yes, he says, I'm in this one. He says, why? He says, well, I'll tell you. He said, boy, he says, you sure saved my life that time. Just because if you hadn't done that, says, they'd have been hunting me and I was on my way for getting getting away, running away from.
Yeah.
And said some of them was reading the letters and all that. The captain says, well, says, Dad, to interrupt their reading and all, says, I think you got one of my men down there. Grandpa says, nope, says, I think he's done going around the corner. I says, this thing goes down there, says, he'll be up here right. And he had been caught taken by the Yankees, you know. I think Grandpa or Papa said about a week they'd had him, you see. He was waiting to get.
He's just looking for a chance.
Just looking for a chance. He said, God sure was good with me then. So he says, I seen. So you know, says, I was making the bend around yon, I seen no good hand go up. That thing come and boy, I lit out a little harder.
Oh, he saw the hand go up.
See, they didn't see nothing down there. Everybody else down where they could see what was going on. Just laying on the stomach on that ridge over there. That was there.
And down there on the tree, they weren't looking.
They were laughing and talking and going on. And one of them had hollered at the Irishman to hurry up, get back here. About that time, the boom.
Now, that was your granddaddy telling.
And I've heard my daddy tell it too, like his daddy told it. I've sat in his lap for many a night and heard him tell his war stories.
Your daddy? You're the granddaddy?
My granddaddy.
You just sat in his lap and he just tell you the stories?
Well, we have company around, you know.
Sure.
We want to get into some old soldier coming. Well, Goodman, how you getting along? All of the things about. Doing pretty good. I'm still able to tell the war stories I learned. And he says, you see my baby sitting up here? Says she won't go to sleep as long as I'm telling her war stories. And I went, I must have been about 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. Well, now you see.
Find the mama and say, hey, don't you want to go to bed? Grandpa's tired talking about wartime. Mom, I'm not sleepy, Mom. I was so sleepy, couldn't hold my. And he hugged me up. I've got they call them mugs them days, a drinking milk mug, you know. It's white china. And it's got a bunch of flowers on the side my grandfather gave me for a Christmas present.
Yeah.
But that was later on.
Yeah.
I got it. Back up my trunk. And I've also got a big white platter of my mother's. It's in that too. Margaret's got a bowl of mama's. It's about that big round shallow like.
Yeah.
I've woke for many a hot day, sold postcards and garden and flower seeds. I got the money to pay for that set of dishes, and I think there was 24 pieces of the dishes, and that's the only thing that's left of them. And my stepmother sent that up to me, honey, and another little bowl, another set I worked for.
How old was you when you did that?
Between 16 and 17.
Yeah. Yeah. And you keep that in your trunk.
Margaret's got the bowl, but I got the platter in my mug. He had three of them, and there was only three of his granddaughters that was close to him that Christmas. Two of them lived right across the woods from him, and we went up to spend Christmas with him. And we had a big snow that year. Ooh, it snowed. We'd get out there and play in the snow and throw one another down in the snow. Come in yellow froze, but we wanted to go back again. and Grandpa's taking them three mugs out of the dresser drawers, one of these old-fashioned dressers, and had the little drawers up here. Then they had the lampshade just there. Had one on each side, and then the glass, it leant against the wall, the full width of the dresser. And if you're taking this out of a real short drawer, it had a short one here and a long one and a short one. And I kept his socks and handkerchiefs and his other things I think he kept in that middle drawer. But these three mugs, he had them down in there. And he taken them out, set them up on the edge of the dresser. Now he says, which one of these three do my little girl want? I looked at him, I think the one with the red flowers. Mm-hmm. Papa says, I know which one she'll take. Grandpa says, you shut up now. He said, let her pick her own mug. And Mama says, we're sure we know which one she'll take. One had red, one had yellow, one had blue. So I got the red one. I always prayed about red when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Or red. I had a pair of red boots with a tassel on the side.
Yeah.
And then I had a pair of Brogan shoes. They were high-top shoes with a brass cap across the toe. And I thought that was it.
It was, don't you know? Yeah.
And...
Now that was
dressy. And I had a red flannel coat Mama made me. And a red hood. I said, told about the Red Riding Hood story then. I could have been Red Riding Hood. I had my red boots, my red coat.
Yeah.
Coat. And she made an extra red cape to go on, but they were separate. And there was something involved. Anyway, when the Uncle Will's children come over, they all come over. Let me see. I don't know where they made a sleigh. So they could come over without bogging up in the snow. But I know they were there. Grandpa says, now girls, says I'm going to ask you all which one of these mugs you want. No, well, Clifford, no, Alice was the oldest. He says, which one you want, Alice? So she's taking the blue one. He says, well, Cliff says, how about you? And she's taking the pink one. And he says, well, baby, you won't get one you done picked out, ain't you?
Yeah.
And what was it, Uncle Will and Aunt Laura brought over there for me? See, I was a baby 9 years before another one come along.
Oh.
Well, there was one died, was born and died right after me. But I still was a baby 9 years because I was 9 years old when Brother Lee was born.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
No more babies in our family till Brother Lee come along. And there's two older than me died. One younger than me died. Then Rosalie come along. There wasn't any more then till Eddie come along. And then Maggie. Margaret is her name, but we all call her Maggie. And that was our family. We were 7 children in our family. 3 girls and a boy lived. And then for 2 of us, man.
You and Rosalie. Well, now.
Could you peek it up there Saturday?
Well, I wondered about that.
She looked awfully peachy. I told her, I'm like, you working yourself to death?
Yeah.
Yes. Just sit down and rest. I mean, you look tired. Oh, I'm all right. I said, well, you're going to be sick if you don't mind that. The gun's sick. She said, well, I went to the doctor yesterday. Give me another shot. Maybe. So I feel better today. And I feel a whole lot better since you all come.
Yeah, that ever.
Pale, people that she ain't got enough of blood or something.
Well, now.
I'm pale, too.
She didn't look pale over here.
Well,
or did she?
Well, you see, she went home and had a spell.
Yeah,
she passed out on them. Then
yeah,
I think she told Margaret that she was out 2 hours before they could get her, too.
Yes. Well, now. What's her household over there now? Does she keep the household going herself?
Well, she and her daughter, but her daughter works, and her granddaughter works. And, of course, her grandson, he's in and out and about. She has to clean it up and everything. She don't have to do, but she does do it. In a trailer, and it's a closed place. She says, I just can't stand it. She says, it gets too dirty. She says, a mop here and a mop there and a mop yonder. And time to get one place mopped, and mop back there again. I says, well, quit it. She says, I am someday. And they've got the foundation laid for her house. Her youngest daughter is the one she's staying with. She lives here, and her oldest daughter, she lives back over here in a trailer. Well, they're putting her a little, building her a little frame house right on in here.
In the middle.
Well, the road comes around this way to Connie. And, of course, it comes from the highway, and that turns off here and goes into Barbara's. And then they've got the footpaths where they can walk back. They got a ditch kind of running through to run the water off from both places, and they got a bridge with thick pieces plant stuff across there to walk on. Really pretty narrow for a person who don't see too good walking at night, unless it's moonlight or. But they've got lights there, and lights down at Connie. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, does she do some of the cooking?
Who?
Rosalie.
She does all the cooking, mostly. When they're all out off at work, and her son-in-law and her grandson, they're working. Up in Georgia, up there somewhere, they got two. Yeah, they stay the week up there and they come home on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. So you've.
Rosalie didn't think you're going to have too much company when the plan first grew up there. And Margaret and Lyman wouldn't go, and that upset her. She didn't say that's what she was crying about, but I called her crying 2-3 times. She said, I just know Margaret wasn't coming, though. I just know it. I know it. She said, I was talking to her. She said, you're always coming. And I want all of you to come now. That time I'd say, you and Lemon, all of it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But she didn't say yes, and we were, and we weren't. Because, but I might have known Margaret wasn't coming. Going up on Saturday night, you know. That's really too far away for all of us to be off of the place on Saturday night. So much.
All of you at one time.
So we are planning so far, as I know now, we'll probably go up this Sunday week, meet them at Kingsley Lake, up and have dinner and be together.
Yeah, picnic.
And then kind of a family reunion. Jake asked his grandma, he says, Grandma? He says, what is this, family reunion? She says, no, son. Says, this is not a family reunion. Says, we'd have to have more of our 10 people and Uncle Bennett's family. Oh, that's Barbara's husband. Says, and say Uncle Martin, Uncle Willie, and Aunt Sybil, Uncle Monroe, and Aunt Audrey, and the boys, and all of them, they'd come in. Says, well, then we would be having a family reunion.
Oh, that would be a reunion.
He says, well, Grandma, I said, you know Uncle Martin. She said, well, now you don't know. Nice. Says, all get up Sunday morning. Everyone, every family, furnish a couple of dishes. Come and meet at the lake. Have dinner. And wants to swim, let them swim. It's time to separate. Have your family reunion at the lake. Well, I hope I'm stronger and feel better than I do, Chicken Hooker. It didn't seem to hurt me. I wasn't tired much.
You probably felt better than Rosalie.
And she was a
worse. Now, she has worked all her life.
Well, after Mama died, Papa married again. And she, of course, put Rosalie, taking her out of school and put her to work. And tried to let her go on to school and got a schooling. Didn't do it.
Oh, really?
And Mom said she had to do so and so when she was raising Rosalie. Dang, I hurt Rosalie.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I want her to get a schooling. I'm holding around. And she cooked. But she didn't cook the right kind of food. And the old soul's dead and gone, and he is too. And I can tell you, when they lived there in Jacksonville, we went up to see Frank's. I'm Frank's sister. Mrs. Hoffman, Mamie Hoffman, and her family, and to see my father and her, all of them, you know what they say. So Rosalie was working at the time. I think she was working in Waycross, Georgia. She tried to get work there in town. Of course, she could be close to Papa and Maggie, but Ma was so hellish and all with Eddie and Maggie. But we went there, and the day we went there, Ma had a mullet. See, as long as she didn't have. Laying on the table of the chef or something, right at the end of the dining table. Daddy Ann was a little tot. I mean, Margaret was a little tot. And the fish smelt thin like it was about gone. Well, we were up there. Are we up there 2 feet? I'm not. And I've always put that end of the table where that fish was laying on the chef's table, whatever, over every time. And Frank says, see, like I smell fish. Smell like it's about past fish. Papa says, yes, and Mom's got one over there. It's been there 3 or 4 days. I said, well, why don't you clean it and cook it, eat it, or I'll throw it out. Mom said, I'll tend to my fish business and I get ready. And he sent him over. He didn't want to get no fuss with him. She knew I had a temper when it was stirred. So I just stopped and said, all right, see. And when we left there, that fish was still in it. Rosalie said she'd come home just for a weekend visit, you know, see how Papa Maggie was getting on, maybe. She said, that darn fish is still laying over there. And she says, what says, well, does that smell something like? Yeah, you lay in a feral name and pranking, finding fault my fish over there. She says, well, you don't mean to tell me that's the fish that was there when I was here last 2 weeks ago. Weekend. Yes. If it's been that long, she says, well, when are you going to cook it? She says, whenever I get damn ready. She's Yankee, you know. So he says, well, I hope I don't won't be here when you cook it. She says, because I know it's going to stink the whole place up. She says, well, you don't have to be here. She says, Papa had gone downtown for something. Then she taking Maggie. I went out on the front porch and was